Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The Taylor Hall signing, because last week I joined Nate on for a segment and we talked about free agency, and that was before the Sabres even signed Taylor Hall. And Nate brought up Taylor Hall, and I almost just kind of thought, like, okay, you know, it's, you know, that's nice to think about. It's nice that, okay, Taylor Hall could come here, but didn't expect it. And then Sunday night, wow, it was amazing that the news broke. And wait, Taylor Hall just signed with the Sabres? Yes, it's a one-year deal. Yes, it's for $8 million, and it, you know, we'll see where it goes after that. But, I mean, a former number one overall pick in the draft and a guy who's been very good and a former MVP to boot is going to be joining the Sabres this upcoming season. However long the season is, we don't know yet, because we've heard that there could be a Canadian division. We could have a shortened division a shortened season this year. We'll see. It'll be very interesting to see how this all plays out. But again, the NHL is targeting a January 1st start date for the upcoming 2020-21 season. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-552-550. All right. So I'll give you a little background as to why I wrote this article at our website, WGR550.com. If you haven't read it yet, I urge you to go check it out. I urge you to read it. Give, you know, some time to think about it. Don't just instantly react to it thinking, you know, don't just, you know, jump right in with a reaction. Take some time to read it. Take some time to really think about what's kind of all put in there. And then give me your reaction. I'm more than open to it. So Monday night, the Vegas Golden Knights were trying to finalize the signing of defenseman Alex Pietrangelo to a massive 7-year, $61.6 million contract. However, they needed to make some space on the salary cap in order to get that contract signed and also get it in and make it official. So what the Golden Knights decided to do was to make available some players, and one of the players was Nate Schmidt. Nate Schmidt is a pretty good left-handed shot defenseman. He's a guy that, when he was in Washington to start his career, his minutes were sheltered. He was more of a bottom-pairing defenseman, like a sixth defenseman, but he did have some decent upside, and he was solid offensively, solid defensively. Then he was left exposed in 2017 in the expansion draft. Vegas took him, and he played 3 years and actually played really well with the Golden Knights as a top four defenseman. He had 21 goals, 76 assists for 97 points and nearly 200 games played. He averaged 22 minutes a night and, you know, went from being that bottom pairing, more offensive type of player in Washington to being a really solid, reliable defenseman on the blue line in Vegas. And a guy that could play on either side of the defense on the blue line. So Vegas needed to make some room, and they traded Nate Schmidt to Vancouver for a 2022 third round pick. That's it. Just a third round pick. And sure, you can make the argument that, yeah, well, the Golden Knights were just trying to get anything, the best value that they could available for Schmidt in that small amount of time just so they could make the room on the salary cap to get Pietrangelo signed. I get it. I understand. That's a solid argument to make, and I understand. However, when I saw this trade go down and I saw the return, I sent out a tweet that got some very, very interesting responses, I guess I'll go with. Saw the tweet, saw the news, and I tweeted out, quote, "This is the return that the Sabres should probably look to get for Rasmus Ristolainen, a third-round pick in 2022. And I got a lot of people that were very upset with me that were saying, no way, absolutely no, you can't do that. And then there were other people that say, yeah, that makes sense. Yes, absolutely, you should make that trade. So then I decided to write an article on the website, WGR550.com. Why trading Rasmus Ristolainen should still be a top priority. And I explained my reasonings, and I'll give my reasonings here, but here's the thing. Looking at the salary cap right now for the Sabres, according to CapFriendly.com, the Sabres have $13.645 million in projected cap space. Now, that space is going to get eaten up with the re-signings of Linus Ullmark, Sam Reinhart, and Victor Olofsson, your three top restricted free agents that are likely going to be in the NHL with the Sabres this year. Casey Mittelstadt also has to get re-signed, but if he's not ready to make the jump, he can go back to Rochester and he can continue to develop his game down there. I almost expect him to start the season in Rochester to continue his development, and then maybe eventually as the season goes on with some injuries or some other players not playing so well, he'll make the jump to the NHL, and we'll see how that goes. But I'm still optimistic about Casey Mittelstadt's development in the NHL. But looking at the salary cap, we don't know exactly what they're going to get Linus Ullmark, Victor Olofsson, and Sam Reinhart signed for. We expect Sam Reinhart to sign probably anywhere between $6 and $7 million per year. Victor Olofsson, I could see getting north of $3 million per year. And Linus Ullmark, I think absolutely should be making as much as Carter Hutton's making on his deal at 2.75, because Carter Hutton is not the same goalie that he was when he first came here. And Linus Ullmark is definitely better than that. I'm not signing, obviously, Linus Ullmark to like an egregious deal like $4 million per year, but it should be at least $2.75 like Carter Hutton is making, and probably a touch more. So if you're signing Linus Ullmark for, let's say, $3 million, and you're signing Sam Reinhart for, I'll say, $7 million, that's already $10 million of money eaten up. Then you'd only have about $3 million left and change to get Victor Olofsson signed, and he's probably going to cost a little bit too. Then at that point, your roster is set at 23 players if you get those three signed, and that's the number for your roster that you need heading into a season. And on a regular basis, is 23. But again, there's just no telling how the restricted free agent market is going to, how they're going to do, how much money they're going to actually garner. Some of these players, I mean, all three of those players have filed for arbitration. So they have arbitration meetings scheduled with the NHL. If they get to them, the arbiter will hear out their case and hear out the team's case and award. Give out an award to the player. The team will have the option then to accept the award or whatnot. And if they don't, that player can go to unrestricted free agency, sign wherever. It's happened before. Tim Kennedy is probably the most notable example here in this case. But it is expected that these players are supposed to be back. But if you get these guys signed, you're likely going to get close to the cap of $81.5 million. And that's a flat rate cap heading into the season, obviously because of all the lost revenue due to the COVID-19 pandemic. So if the Sabres have to sign these guys to the deals that, you know, that you might have to sign them to, Kevin Adams obviously could, you know, negotiate and make some magic happen, and things might not be as bad, and that's fine. But I think at this point, it's looking more and more likely that with the way that these restricted free agents are going to have to be signed, the contracts they're going to earn, we could see these guys eating up the cap space to getting pretty darn close to that $81.5 million flat rate. And going forward, especially into next year, we don't know what that rate is going to be again. Is it going to be 81.5 again? Is it going to be 82.5? Is it going to be 83? We don't know, because of the fact that we don't know how revenue is going to come into the NHL this year. if they can't have full stadiums, if they can't play an 82-game season. Yes, Seattle's coming into the picture, and that might help a little bit, but we still have so many unanswered questions. And so the easiest solution right now to free up some money is to bring back the idea of trading Rasmus Ristolainen. And yes, a lot of people aren't going to like this idea. But here's the thing. Trading away Rasmus Ristolainen, if you get that entire cap off the books, Ristolainen's got two more years left on his contract at $5.4 million. If that cap hit comes off the books, that opens up a little over $19 million in cap space. And it would allow the Sabres to do at least one or two more things on top of re-signing your restricted free agents to make the team better. And I pointed it out in my article. There are a lot of things with this roster and with this team, or not with the team, but with Ristolainen specifically, that goes to show that the stats still aren't there. When you watch him on the ice with your own eyes, when you look at his analytics, when you take the entire realm of his game and combine it into a nice little ball and you evaluate it, it's still not good enough. And how much better is Ristolainen going to get at age 25? He has been here for 7 years. He's been almost the exact same defenseman that he's been since he's been here. Yes, he brings some good offensive upside. Yes, he brings that physicality that a lot of people say that this team does not have and still won't have, even if you trade Ristolainen. That's another argument that I tend to disagree with. But all the arguments that are brought up are valid. And I make the case in this article, hey, you might have to swallow the fact that if you're trading Rasmus Ristolainen at this point, you're doing it, A, to open up your money so you can make other moves to make your team better. And B, it might just be time anyway to move on because it's been for several years. It seems like several years now we've been talking about trading Rasmus Ristolainen. Even Rasmus Ristolainen knows that he is the topic of discussion. The trade chatter around him has been deafening. But the Sabres, they oftentimes, and for good reason, they value him more than probably other teams. He's a former first-round pick of the team in 2013. He has that offensive upside. He's got that physicality. But it seems like if you're going to make your team better, wouldn't it be better to move on from the teams that continually hurt your team, or from the players that continually hurt your team, and bring in better players that could be better for your team, than to have one player that has consistently been a liability on the ice? Because let's face it, Ristolainen has been more of a liability on the ice than he has been a solution for the Sabres. So I wrote the article. I brought it up. I said, you know, if you don't get a good value for Ristolainen, it's okay. It's fine. He's going to clear up cap space for you, and he's going to offer you the opportunity to make some better moves around your team. And here's some of the things that I think the Sabres could do if they trade Rasmus Ristolainen and get a team to take the whole cap hit. Because guess what? Vancouver, when they acquired Nate Schmidt, they took the whole cap hit from Vegas. They took it off their hands. So Vegas could make that signing and fit under the cap for Pietrangelo. Vancouver took the entire $5.95 million cap hit. And again, Nate Schmidt, analytics-wise and watching him on the ice, I think has proven to be a better defenseman, if not better, as good of a defenseman as Ristolainen. So here's what the Sabres could do if you free up that money. If you free up the money from Ristolainen, you could go add another centerman. Yes, Eichel and Staal, those are your top two centers. But Cody Eakin as a third-line center, I don't know if I feel comfortable with Cody Eakin as a third-line center. I feel more comfortable as a fourth-line center for him, and I think that fits his game better. But as a third-line center, I'm not entirely sure. Plus, I'd rather have Dylan Cousins likely playing on that line as a winger. I'd rather have him playing with somebody that's got maybe a little more offensive upside than Cody Eakin. And Cody Eakin's a solid player, a good two-way player down the middle. But I don't know how confident I am with him being able to contribute offensively and being able to be that nice option for Cousins to kind of grow his game and learn his game off of. I mean, maybe he gets a chance to play with Eric Staal, which would be very ideal. But there are a couple names out there that are still available for the Sabres. Eric Halla and Mikael Granlund are a couple of options in free agency. Both of those guys probably will have a reasonable price tag that won't put the Sabres in a bind with the salary cap. If you sign one or the other, probably won't be that bad. And then don't forget Dominic Cahoon is still out there. Ralph Kruger has spoke quite highly of Dominic Cahoon in his short tenure as head coach, and even in the short tenure that Cahoon was here. He fits the culture. He understands what we're trying to do as an organization here. And also, Kruger brought up the fact that not only is, you know, Cahoon a good fit for the locker room and for the team, there's a possibility he can move back to center at some point if he were to play here in Buffalo. And he played well playing professionally in Germany down the middle. That's where he got noticed, and then he signed an NHL contract with the Blackhawks, played 1 year there, then went to Pittsburgh and played the little time there before getting traded to Buffalo. Sabres could also look to make a move defensively. If you're going to trade away Ristolainen, you're trading away a right-handed defenseman, which the Sabres have plenty of right-handed defensemen, and other teams are going to garner a right-handed defenseman. But the one thing that the Sabres do have is with that abundance is that they have to move somebody from the right side to the left side. They've been using Brandon Montour in that situation, and Montour has struggled. He struggled in that situation. So if you find a way to sign another free agent, the guy that I brought up is Ben Hutton, very reliable, very solid defenseman who's a guy that could play a bottom pairing role. Whether it's your second pair left-handed defenseman or your third pair left-handed defenseman. He can come in, play that way, and you can move Montour back to the right side where he's much more comfortable. Or you can make the improvement in goaltending. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the case because I think the team is comfortable and just fine going into the season with Allmark being your starter and Carter Hutton being your backup. And plus, Hutton's only on a one-year deal left anyway, so he'll probably play out the contract and then go back to free agency. And if a team brings him in, then a team brings him in. If not, then, you know, thanks for your service, Carter Hutton. But the thing about trading away Ristolainen that I think a lot of people have already interacted on Twitter and thought, wait a minute. If we're trading away Ristolainen, there goes our physical presence. This team might as well wear tutus while they're on the ice. Oh my God, everything's just going to go terribly wrong because there's no physicality. Relax. I think the team has enough physicality where you don't have to be the bruising type of guy in front of the net where you're just looking to beat the crap out of anybody in front of the net. And we've seen it a lot from Ristolainen where this is one of those eye test things where the valid case of, you know, he's more of a liability. When he's in a battle in front of the net, he's more willing to cross-check and beat the snot out of a guy in front of the net. Next thing you know, the puck comes free off to the goaltender. Goalie doesn't know where it is. And Ristolainen's obviously focused on trying to beat up the guy in front. And all a winger has to do coming in towards the net is just tap the puck in. There's one guy in the organization, though, that I think could fill his role and I think could be very serviceable, if not just as good or better than Rasmus Ristolainen, Will Borgen. He's only played 4 games so far in the NHL. He's 23 years old. He's still on a rookie contract, but he's already shown the capabilities in the AHL that he could be a very serviceable defenseman from the right side that can play physical in front of the net, that can skate just as well, if not better, than Rasmus Ristolainen. And he's proven time and time again that he could be relied upon in a greater capacity and also be able to confidently handle the workload. Paul Hamilton has brought this up plenty of times. He's a workhorse on the blue line. He was a workhorse at St. Cloud State when he was playing college hockey, and he's proven to be a workhorse in Rochester playing with the Amherst. But I bring this all up in great detail at WGR550.com. You're more than welcome to go read it, go take a look, and bring up some thoughts. Feel free to call in. Feel free to give me more thoughts. And you're more than welcome to bring it up on Twitter, on the text line, or on the phones. 803-0551-888-550-2550. I told Ray and Clarence that to call back because he brings up a good point, not about Ristolainen, but he still brings up a good point about another player on the team, and I told him to call back this hour. I'm going to get to his phone call right now because Joe Yearden's going to be coming up here shortly on WGR. Ray, thanks again for calling back. Thanks again for holding on. Welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thank you. the analysis of that $13 million being swallowed up with Olofsson, Reinhardt, and who's the third? Allmark. It's gone. I mean, and you know, and rightfully so. They should be paid. But I'll tell you, the bottom line is what you're saying is money has to be moved out.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's a shame. I was looking on Cap Friendly a few minutes ago. The Okposo signing is a killer for us. That's $6 million. We still have this upcoming season and two more after that. So money, one way or the other, has to go. And I'll be honest with you, Brayton. I mean, I would trade Okposo if it's even possible. I would trade a first and a second round pick to give away just to free that money. Because you freed up that money, that means a player you can get on a proven commodity. You know, the other thing that's going through my head, I have so many thoughts that, you know, Taylor Hall, that's only 1 year. Stahl, 1 year. I had the thought, do we sign and trade Reinhardt? But there's no guarantee. That's another way to free up money. But there's no guarantee that Hall and Stahl are coming back, and Stahl's older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then at the end of next, this upcoming season, sometimes I don't know how to classify because we're starting in January. You know, we only have two defensemen that is under contract, Ristolainen being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be time to pay Dahlin. You know, his contract's up, too. We're the big picture of things, it might look a little rosy this year, a little rosier, but we're in a heap of trouble this next season. It's going to be a mess. So you got to cut ties with some of this money. And if you can do Okposo somehow, some way, and you got to send a player with them, so be it, because it's 3 years of this that we can't handle anymore.
Yeah, Ray, you bring up a lot of great points. Thanks for taking the call. I got to cut you short here because we're going to be going to break here in just a second. I think Okposo is a guy that, you know, he's probably going to be here for next year, but let me just hypothetically put out this situation here real quick. What happens if the Sabres actually are a decent team this year? What happens if they contend for the playoffs and get into the playoffs? Here's the expansion draft coming up. Sabres are going to the playoffs. You've got an opportunity to maybe get some cap hit off of your books, similar to what happened with Vegas. What happens if, at the end of the year, Sabres end up with the 18th, 19th pick or something like that, but you want to get the cap hit off your books and you got Kyle Okposo there? You could then, in your case, ship off a first-round pick or something else to go along with Okposo to Seattle. And yes, you know, you're playing the game of, I don't know what you want to call the game exactly, but the game of chance, I guess we'll call it, with the fact that, oh, hey, what if this guy goes to Seattle and, like what happened with a lot of players in Vegas, they excel big time and they make a playoff push and they're better than the Sabres. So be it. So be it. It's one of those things where you got to clear cap space, and that's a huge reason why I wrote this article, is cap space and other assets and, you know, what more can Rasmus Ristolainen bring to this team at age 25? That's huge. And I liked your points, Ray. Thanks again for calling. Thanks again for making your point very valid. And we're going to talk more hockey coming up in a little bit as Joe Yurden, hashtag noted jerk on Twitter, Joe Yurden joining us here coming up next. And Joe is a free agent hockey writer for hire. And we'll definitely get his thoughts and we'll catch up on what's been going on with the Sabres this offseason. We'll get his thoughts on Rasmus Ristolainen as well. I'd like to pick his brain on that. And that's coming up next here. Brayton Wilson filling in for Nate Geary on Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back. Sports Talk Saturday here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson in this afternoon, taking over for Nate Geary for the week. Nate, again, should be back next week here on WGR. Joining me now on the Western Hotline to talk some more Sabres hockey is our good friend of not only just the show, but the station and Sabres hockey all across the world. Hashtag noted jerk Joe Yearden joining us now on the Western Hotline. Joe, it's great to hear your voice once again. Thanks again for taking the time. How are you doing, my friend?
Doing well, hanging in there.
Absolutely,
it's nice to have some fun hockey to keep things interesting, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. And the hockey talk is never seems to stop, even though things seem to kind of get quiet for a while. One thing comes up, and next thing you know, we're all back to talking hockey again. So I kind of feel like I did that a little bit this weekend, but obviously the Sabres did that on Monday, just when we thought that, you know, things were going to go very quiet for free agency this year. Sabres bring in Taylor Hall. What was your surprise level when all of a sudden it was like 7 o'clock on Sunday and you get the tweet from, I believe it was Elliot Friedman who first reported it, saying that the Sabres are landing Taylor Hall?
Yeah, that was a surprise. It was a very big surprise, to say the least. I don't imagine anybody figured Buffalo was going to be in the hunt for Hall, given, you know, what Hall had said, you know, that he wanted to go to a winning team, a winning situation, and the thought that he was going to be getting a long-term contract from somebody. Instead, it comes in at 1 year, $8 million, and you know, it's tough to call the Sabres a winning situation. But maybe that changes now with him being brought into the mix.
Yeah, I mean, you're looking now at the top six. At least this was my reaction, because I saw, you know, a mock lines of who could play in that top six heading into the opening week of the season, whenever that's going to be, jokes. We obviously don't know yet, but looking at the addition of Hall and the addition of Eric Staal and just everyone else that could possibly play in that group, it actually doesn't look that bad looking at it now.
Yeah, top six wise, it's a top six that can hang with a lot of the good teams around the league. Eichel is a top five player in the NHL as far as I'm concerned. I know my MVP ballot didn't bear that out, but that's a whole different argument. But I think when you start to play amateur GM and try to figure out what your lines are going to be. I mean, if your argument is I don't want to put Hall with Eichel because I want to really drive things on two lines, and I think that's a good argument as any. You know, you had Olofsson really emerge last season. You know, you've got Skinner there, you've got Reinhart, who's a 60 point performer, no matter what. And you know, and you're gonna have to figure out what you want to do with Dylan Cousins with him coming along. So these are a lot of good arguments to have. These are better arguments than trying to figure out if, whether or not it was good or bad to lose a Johan Larson, or if it's good or bad to add a Cody Eakin. Like these, it's better to ask, you know, does Taylor Hall belong next to Jack Eichel, or does he belong next to Eric Staal? I'd much rather have those discussions than trying to figure out you know, what to do with your bottom six.
Yeah.
That's a lot more fun.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really, really excited to look at the top six potential and what matchups, because Kevin Adams brought it up himself. It's a matchup league, and it's all about how you match up against these other teams and some of the top teams in the NHL. And certainly, I'll ask you about the bottom six in a little bit, but it definitely is one of those things where, with the added talent that is now in this organization with Staal and Hall, the matchups are going to be a little bit better going into every night against some of these better teams for the Sabres.
Yeah, and, you know, I think about how last season, where they had two lines that really clicked, and, you know, one was Jack's line with Sam and Victor Olofsson. I think that's inarguable. I think that line worked great. And then the other line was Larson, Oposo, and Gergensen's, where you could say that line was great, but it's not giving you a lot of offense. You know, and the bigger questions were how did you figure out the other two lines, where, you know, those other two lines are supposed to bring you more in the way of goals and scoring, and they didn't. And that's a big problem. Now you can say you have two lines that are going to bring you a lot of offense, and that, you know, in an ideal situation, those lines should provide a lot of punch and a lot of problems for other teams as far as matchups go. Whereas now you have some uncertainty, I think, with the other two lines. Maybe less so with how you figure out how you're going to do things, you know, whether Eakin's going to be your center for that third line. You know, maybe it's a chance for Casey Mittelstadt to step in. Maybe it's an opportunity eventually for Dylan Cousins to take control of that group and maybe find some chemistry with, you know, whether it's Olofsson or if it's Skinner on the left side, and, you know, maybe Tage Thompson can jump out and be a play driver on that third unit. And that to me is where you want, if you're going to have some uncertainty, if you're going to try to figure things out in the lineup, I'd rather have it lower lower lines with that are not getting as many minutes, as opposed to a second unit that you ideally want to be playing 16, you know, maybe 15, 16 minutes a night.
Joe Yurden, the noted jerk on Twitter, joining us here on the Wester Hotline, free agent hockey writer for Hire. Somebody please seriously hire this guy, because he's very, very good at what he does. Joe, now I want to ask you about the bottom lines of this team, because this is where things get a little interesting with who you're gonna put together and everything. But I want to start with Cody Eakin, because I personally think Cody Eakin could fill that third line center role, but I'm not comfortable with it. You know, I'd rather have him be the fourth line centerman and maybe continue to look to bring somebody in free agency. But then obviously then that brings up the question of, okay, what do you do about the salary cap? But, you know, do you think the Sabres have any options, other options with their third line center? With, I know you brought up Casey Mittelstadt. I know you brought up maybe another guy that could be ready to step into that role. But, you know, is Cody Eakin right now the guy that you would pencil in at third line center, or do you think there's other options?
Well, I think he's the pencil mark right now. I wouldn't write it in ink, just based on looking at his, you know, the advanced numbers are not very kind to him. The offensive numbers are very mercurial. I think that's, you know, it's very up and down. He had a lot of success in Vegas a couple of years ago, you know, where he was able to score 20 goals. To me, he's a guy that when you watch him play, this is going to bring up very tired arguments that pop up on Twitter and on, you know, and on the air on TV and radio.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I think by the eye test, you look at him and he looks like he's doing a lot of the things right, but the numbers don't necessarily match up with that, and that's where these endless arguments come up. It's great for ratings. It's great for discussion. It's great for clicks. Mm-hmm. But as far as results, it's a bit more specious, and I think that's a bit of a problem. And that's, you know, whereas Larson, you know, a lot of people got tired of Johan Larson, you know, for a few years here, but last year the results bore out, and I think that's where everybody started to say, hey, wait a minute, this guy's actually good. Why don't we keep him around for a while? And, you know, now he's going to be playing for the Arizona Coyotes. So, and I think there was a question as to whether or not he belonged, whether he was a third or a fourth line center. I think that's a fair argument. But the problem is that you're now you've kind of shifted the argument to a different player, and now it's a player that you're paying a lot more money to, and that's where the stress comes in a lot more as far as giving them the minutes that money requires necessarily, and whether those results will bear out. And I think that's going to be an argument for the next 2 years in that contract. Yep. That's going to be really endless unless he scores 20 goals a year, which if he does, hey, you know what? Don't really care so much about, you know, what you think of him if the offense is there.
Right, and especially if your third line center can put up 20 goals, then you shouldn't have too many things to argue about. You should be pretty happy about that. Joe, here's the discussion that I've been talking about for 30 minutes now, and I want your thoughts on it. I think you know where I'm going with this next.
I've got an idea.
But it's the idea that's been talked about what seems like for eons here in Buffalo, and that's Rasmus Ristolainen. He's a guy that knows that his name's been talked about in trade chatter. He knows that his name has been out there and that the ideas have been forever floating out there. And arguments can be made all around about whether you like Rasmus Ristolainen and you don't like Rasmus Ristolainen, or it's just like, okay, if he's here, whatever, then, you know, just deal with two more years, whatever, and just let bygones be bygones. But where are your thoughts on Rasmus Ristolainen? Do you think that he's still a hot commodity on the market? Do you think that, you know, we're bound to see Ristolainen once again here in Buffalo? Where are you drifting in that front?
Boy, you know, everything I said about Cody Eakin and the arguments that could be made, I think we're pretty fresh and well worn on that, because we've been doing that here for Ristolainen for so long. And you know, he's a guy that I genuinely enjoy. Great dude. I mean, I love that he speaks his mind, you know, when it's necessary. He does not pull punches, and I can appreciate that about him. And he's a guy that's very self-aware, and he understands that what the discussions are and where everything is. But when it comes to the stats and everything, he's a guy that I think is that if you're going to get the best out of him, you have to use him in very certain situations and very certain usage. And we've discovered now over the past few years that the usage is the big problem. And if it's over 20 minutes a night, it's not for the best. If it's using him heavily on the power play, that's for a better usage. I think that's the best place to use him, because he's very effective there. Problem is that he's used heavily in defensive situations, and that's where the struggles come in. He's not a possession driver. He's not a guy that's necessarily super effective in the defensive zone, because it's so open to theories and ideas and to reasons to why it is. You know, his first big season here was the tank year, and he was used very heavily by Ted Nolan. And that's, you know, a lot of the habits that were developed then were bad ones, and a lot of those habits stuck around. I think he can be a good player, but if you're gonna hang it on him to be in your top four on your defense, man, you gotta be so aware of what those situations are you're using him in, and you have to limit the minutes. I think that's such a tough thing to do, because he is paid very well. I mean, he's a $5 million plus defenseman, which means you need to play him in your top four. But does he belong there? I don't know. I don't necessarily think so. And that's the hard thing to do, and it's a thing where everybody wants to trade him now, but the book's out, you know, the numbers are out there, and it's not like there's a team out there that doesn't know how to use the internet. Yeah. They don't know how to use websites to look at the numbers. So for the idea that you might get a huge return for him, I think that ship has sailed.
Yep.
I think that's gone.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be able to get the big return that you want for him necessarily to make it happen, and that's a big problem.
And especially
if you wanted to get the big return on them, you needed to do it a couple of years ago.
Yeah, and especially with the way that the COVID world has really impacted the way that the NHL is kind of operating this offseason, it's almost going to be impossible to get the desired return. And that's kind of why I brought up the article, because you saw the Nate Schmidt trade with Vegas, and sure, the argument can be made that, well, they were trying to just clear that cap space and did whatever they could to clear it, but at the same point, there's plenty of arguments, and you're looking at the stats and you're the eye test with the on-ice performance, and easily a lot of people can say, well, Nate Schmidt is a better defenseman than Rasmus Ristolainen. The only difference is Ristolainen's a right-handed shot defenseman and Nate Schmidt's a left-handed shot defenseman. But, you know, that's why I brought up the article and why I wrote it. It's just like, you know, if you're really going to trade Rasmus Ristolainen, you might have to expect that type of return now, especially in today's world where maybe at best you're getting a second-round pick in return. But, you know, to clear the cap space and to make, you know, if you want to continue to make off-season moves, then that might be the case.
Yeah, it's a little bit tougher with that, with comparing it to the Vegas situation, because Vegas wasn't going to be able to sign Peter, you know, Alex Pietrangelo until they cleared the cap space, because even if they tried to add him, they would have been over even the 10% overage that you're allowed in the off-season. So, you know, that's a bit of a different monster. But when you go back through the years with the rumored deals that were out there, you know, the Tim Murray turning down Taylor Hall for Rasmus Ristolainen, and, you know, back when Hall was with Edmonton, that one, I mean, that thing's been out there for a while. And then the rumored one with Winnipeg a year or two ago where it was Nick, I think it was maybe even a year ago, I forget now, but time gets away from us now these days. But,
yeah.
But that rumor was with Nikolai Ehlers, mm-hmm. and it was after Ehlers had already extended his deal. So, you know, so that's, I mean, that's a different monster, but it, you know, Winnipeg could still use the defensive help, but I don't know that they're, you know, they've added a few, you know, smaller names, but I don't know that you can really revisit the Ristolainen deal. Maybe you can, but maybe you're not. You're probably not getting Nikolai Ehlers now, especially after they added Paul Stastny. So,
yeah. So
I mean, you're just kind of stuck. And, you know, if you're going to try to find a deal, I think if you traded him for a third-round pick now, I don't know that you're going to be – I know the fans won't be too happy with that, because he's a top, you know, he's a guy that is still counted on to do a lot here. But that opens up the discussion, are you better off – losing what he's added and what he, you know, take away what he's done with the team and what he brings, and is that any better if you add in, you know, if you move Montour to the right side and give him those minutes, or do you add, you know, you bring Will Borgen into the situation? You know, it's a lot. It's a lot of it's going into a lot of unknowns, and you have to wonder. The question is whether or not those unknowns are better. Are you better off with what you don't know what can be brought into the lineup as opposed to what you know you're going to get from him?
Right. All right. Well, last thing I'll ask you, Joe, is there anything else that the Sabres need to do this offseason, or anything that you think they're going to do, whether that's bringing back Dominic Cahoon and getting him re-signed, or, you know, maybe a trade to clear some cap space or whatnot? Or do you think that what you're looking at in terms of seeing what's on cap friendly and getting the restricted free agents signed, is this pretty much it?
It sure seems like this is it. I think if there's a move to be made, it is a trade, and I think it involves a defenseman, whether it's, you know, whether it's Montour or it's Ristolainen. I know it seemed pretty clear from what Kevin Adams said that by pointing out that Montour can play the right or the left side. We saw him on the left side so much last season that it seems like they're kind of set there. But I'm sure that the door is open to have a discussion about anything. But it seems like Hall was the big fish. I mean, he's the biggest fish for any team to sign. But Buffalo got him. I mean, that's a huge catch. But as far as any other moves, it's tinkering moves. It's getting some guys to help out in Rochester. But I think that's about where we're at right now. Unless there's a trade on the horizon, I just don't really see any bigger moves. I mean, they've got a ton of forwards to get figured out now. The defense, there's a ton of guys there. So, so unless they're moving a guy out, or if they're making a goalie move, which I think there's a possibility there, but unless there's a big splash to be made here somewhere else, I just don't really see it.
Joe, what's happening with your Lions this year?
Oh man, don't get me started. You'll have to have me on for a whole other hour to yell about how bad they are. But
I was riding high on them this year. I thought they were actually going to make some moves and do something this year.
No, their moves are always to move lower. It's to find new depths in terrible football is what their move is.
Oh, sorry, Joe. I kind of figured I'd had to ask you about that since it is football season, but I regret the decision immediately.
Well, let's put it this way. It's a shame that they've had such a good quarterback in Stafford, and they mistreated the best receiver that they've ever had in their history. And
Yeah.
And they brought in a guy who's supposed to be a defensive guru, and yeah, that's not really working. So maybe stop. Maybe they should stop taking on Patriots guys that aren't named Bill Belichick. That would be a really great move.
That would probably be a really, really great move. Well, Joe, thanks again for taking the time. I know that there's been a lot of talk going on with hockey. Hopefully that talk will continue as we hopefully get the 2020-21 season closer to approaching us and actually get it started. So hope to talk to you again soon. Hope to see you again soon. And I'm sure we'll catch up sometime really, really soon down the road.
Absolutely. That'd be great. I'm looking forward to it whenever that happens.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Take care, man.
Be good.
All right. Joe Yerden joining us here on the Western Hotline. We'll step aside, take a real quick timeout, and then when we come back, we'll wrap things up here on this edition of Sports Talk Saturday on WGR. My thanks again to Joe Yerden, who recently just joined me to talk some Sabres hockey. But earlier in the show, we had Soren Petro from Sports Radio 810 in Kansas City join us. We also had Matt Perino from NewYorkUpstate.com, as well as our own Sal Capaccio right off the top of the show to talk about Bills practice, talk about the game coming up here on Monday. And, you know, man, it just brightened up outside. It's a great time to end the show because things are brightening up outside and it's a beautiful, beautiful fall day. Hope everybody enjoys the weekend because, as Jeremy said yesterday, it is going to be peak fall season this weekend with the leaves all changing over and being at their peak. The temperatures are going to be great and we don't know how much more of this elite season weather we're going to get. So enjoy the rest of the weekend. Thanks again to Sal, to Matt, to Soren, and also to Joe for joining the show this afternoon. Thanks again to Nate Geary for letting me fill in. I'm Brayton Wilson. Thanks to Corey Griswold. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, everybody. We'll be back talking football again Monday morning at 6 as we'll have wall-to-wall coverage of the Bills and the Chiefs all day here on WGR with kickoff set for 5 o'clock on your home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you then.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.